Israel has shown remarkable restraint against these frequent rocket attacks, and they're against rural areas, but they're also against cities like Ashdod. There's a nuclear reactor there, and you know, just in the last 24 hours, three Israelis were killed by these rockets. And the Israelis working with us have developed some very effective anti-missile defenses in the sense that they can hit streaking missiles in the sky. The problem is the forces like Hamas or Hezbollah in Lebanon can launch so many missiles that it overwhelms the system and some get through. And, you know, I'm just amazed at how restrained the Israelis have been. But, of course, when the Israelis retaliate for the missiles, kill a virulent terrorist, Hamas military commander, what do we see on the front page of the Washington Post today? You know, a Palestinian father holding his wounded child. Never see pictures of wounded or dead Israelis. It's always the long-suffering Palestinians. And it's just not right. I mean, Israel can't get a fair shake, which does not mean that I approve of every single action Israel takes. But in self-defense, killing a terrorist commander is fully justified. This man was responsible for the deaths of many Israelis, as well as the deaths of innocent Palestinians who didn't sign up for the Hamas terror program.
Well, he's also the architect of the kidnapping of the Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit.
Yeah.
And, you know, an all-around bad guy. I mean, he's really the guy who helped set the tone and the agenda for Hamas. By the way, I should point out, these are the people that Rachel Corrie was there supporting 10 years ago. Rachel Corrie, of course, was from the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, Ralph. So,
yeah, well, you know, with Rachel Corrie, I blame the people that put the poisonous ideas in her head.
That's why I mentioned her college.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Our educational system has become so bigoted that I find that young graduates, even from supposedly good schools, know nothing objective about American history. They don't know the places and dates. They don't know. They just don't know. But boy, they come out filled with all sorts of crazy ideas about villainous America. I mean, it's as if Stalin was the good guy and FDR was the bad guy, and somehow America's poisoned the universe. It's
Oliver Stone's next movie.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, and, you know, Oliver Stone, that poor guy's just got snakes in his head. I don't think anybody takes him seriously. But when a young woman like Rachel Corrie is perverted by her teachers and what she's told and winds up dying, don't blame the Israelis. Blame the propagandists who have tenure on our campuses.
By the way, there are all these protests and rallies, demonstrations in Gaza, and Israel has said, you know, if you're feeling froggy, go ahead and leap, because if more missiles are fired at our cities, we're going to send in ground forces.
Yeah, and Hamas really wants to stir things up because they're trying to rally support again. Hamas has done a very poor job in Gaza. Corruption is rampant. The average Palestinian is not doing well. And there's a great deal of disaffection. I mean, the people that voted for Hamas several years ago would not all vote for Hamas again. So Hamas does not want elections. They just want to run the state as another one-party state in the Arab world. And it's just so sad that Israel, this rule-of-law democracy that's doing its best to survive against enemies who want to exterminate every Jew, Israel can't get fair coverage or fair treatment. But any time there's collateral damage in a Palestinian area where terrorists have been hanging out, and they use innocent civilians as human shields all the time, well, of course, that makes the news.
Ralph, I want to turn to yesterday's press conference by the president.
There was no press conference yesterday. That was a love fest.
Wanted to zero in on the president saying that he wants to get to the bottom of what's going on in Benghazi, and then fiercely defended Susan Rice, said that the White House asked her to go out there, and she simply gave a presentation with the intelligence that she was given.
Yeah, well, what the president said made zero sense. He defended Susan Rice by saying, these senators shouldn't attack Susan Rice because she had nothing to do with Benghazi, but he didn't explain why, if she had nothing to do with Benghazi, they sent her out as the spokeswoman for the administration on five Sunday talk shows. I mean, there's no logic there. If she doesn't know anything about Benghazi, send out somebody who does. Why didn't they send out Hillary Clinton or Dave Petraeus? Or somebody in the know.
The reason for that, I think, is it was verifiable that those people you just mentioned who were in the know had conclusive evidence that what Susan Rice said several days later was not true.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, the goal inside this White House is to insulate the president. They don't want him incriminated the way Nixon was. They're trying to keep a cordon sanitaire, a buffer around him. And so, you know, they were perfectly willing to risk sacrificing Susan Rice, even though she really didn't know anything about Benghazi. But they weren't going to sacrifice the president, just as they brilliantly and cynically handled the Petraeus firing, which is really what it was. It wasn't a resignation. He was told you can resign and preserve some dignity or be fired. But we know that Eric Holder, the attorney general, knew months in advance about this scandal with Petraeus. And it's impossible to believe that the attorney general did not tell his close friend, the president, at least whisper to him, hey, Petraeus is in trouble. There's a problem here. During the election season, and of course the president knew. I'm convinced he did. But there's no hard evidence of that because it's all done in whispers. And so the Democrats didn't want the Petraeus scandal to break during the election because it would have been at least a distraction, or the Republicans might have said, oh, look, they fired this national hero, blah, blah, blah. Well, they also didn't want Petraeus testifying this week on Capitol Hill in his capacity as CIA director. So, and they kept the one guy out of the loop that should have been brought into the loop. That was James Clapper, head of National Intelligence, director of National Intelligence, Petraeus' boss. They cynically keep him out of the loop until late on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell Clapper, because they know Clapper is going to take a hard line on this, and Clapper has to get rid of Petraeus. So it all happens. They start on Election Day. Obama's won the election. Bang. Clapper nails Petraeus. Petraeus is discredited. Even if he goes to Capitol Hill and testifies, the White House can say, oh, it's sour grapes. You can't trust this guy. Look what he did. And the White House gets a bonus, two bonuses, really. One of destroying any hopes Petraeus had of national office in 2016. But also, they did a brilliant job of insulating the president by making Clapper the executioner.
Yes.
It lets Obama stand up and shake Petraeus' hand and say, gee, thanks, General Petraeus, for your service. Good guy. Sorry, bye.
Ralph Peters, one last quick question here in the 30 seconds we have, and that is Israel, Gaza, the next 48 hours. What do you see happening?
Oh, God knows. I mean, I can't predict that. But if Hamas doesn't knock off the rockets, Israel will bring the hammer down.